Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this episode is one of our Questions of the Force episodes. The Force, or rather our listeners, have provided some wonderful questions, and we're going to attempt to provide some answers. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsuck. So happy that we have given the power of the Force to our fan base. They are actually our listeners, our friends, are the Force. That's beautiful. You are off the Force. You're the Force out there.
There's just midi-chlorians all up in these questions, so I'm very excited to talk about them and see, what the questions whisper. As always, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are recommending a book that is in our homes. We're going to start reading. We're going to very, very soon be excited to discuss it. If you want to check it out, you can. It is Queen's Hope by E.K. Johnston. If you would like to download a free audiobook version, you can go to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook, Queen's Hope. Ken, have you started Queen's Hope?
Yes, I have. And I'm I think about 80 pages into it. Our review is forthcoming, and so far some really good stuff. And I don't want to give the whole review away, but I am just loving that once again, E.K. Johnson's like, hey, you know that like 2 seconds of Padme's life that I've been thinking about for 20 years? Let me write about that. Let me really do wonderful things with it. So,
yeah, oh man. I can't wait. I have this one set out. I want to finish. I'm reading the Legends Kenobi book. I want to finish that first. And it is like there is some gravity well around this book. I walk by it in my living room and I like veer closer toward it. I even picked it up once and like, no, wait until you can give it your entire focus. Anyway, speaking of entire focus, let's give it to these questions. We have two from Twitter, as always, and two from our patrons on Patreon. We'll start first with Twitter. We have a question from Sam Fox. Sam says, which Star Wars video game from eons past would you like to see revived or even get a direct sequel? My choice would be a fully fleshed out pod racer game with the option for a team manager career mode. Hashtag take my money. Ken, I know you've talked about both a pod racer game and team management games. This is the game that lives in your heart, right? The pod racer with team management.
Yeah, Sam stole my answer, which probably means he's aware of my answer and we're in agreement. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is, I can't tell you how much I wish I knew how to create video games, because then I would pitch this and sell this or something. I dream about it. Even again, and we're going to take a look at Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga this week. When you get to kind of play the little pod race mode there too, I kind of thought like, here we go again, like, I want to choose a racer. I want to build. I want to have a team. Let's do it.
Yeah, and for the kind of sports management, team management games, I've played like on mobile some games where you pick X, Y, or Z and you march them out and you see how they do. I'd never played a full like sports management game. Mm-hmm. Is that for you? Is that do you enjoy those because it's a little less of the mash buttons, do the challenge, and more like slowly consider your picks and then let it all play out?
Yeah, there's something about it. I wish, and again, this is why I always say, you know, you don't have to love sports. You don't have to love, say, nerd fantasy stuff. I'll put those two categories up there. You can love only one of them, but it's the same muscle. And why I'm surprised, this, you know, sometimes, well, I get why some of the walls are up. Fortunately, we've all been to high school. But yeah, if you get lost in a Star Wars story and you're thinking about fan fiction and, you know, a story and a mission and characters, it's similar where you just like, you're thinking of contracts and money and what player can I trade for? Or I've done, you know, I'm not a huge racing fan in real life. I'll attended a race or something once, but like, I've played a lot of those car games where you're like, oh, I've earned enough money to buy new tires. I can go faster. And there's just something about it that connects with those kind of games if you got that kind of mind for it. And so I think, how great would it be to build a new pod and win three races and then you can get a new engine or get a new team of pit droids, hire a racer, fire a racer, you know, replace Rats Tyrell. Like you got, you know, the tragedy strikes. All that would just be so fun.
Get a better flag carrier if they're not doing a good job at the beginning of the race.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really, really great. That sounds like a ton of fun. For that Sam's kind of question about taking an existing game and having a sequel or a revised version, is that your answer as well with the pod racer game, or is there other Star Wars games that you would like to see revived or get a direct sequel?
Yeah, I felt it was fair since Sam was correct there with that answer. Another one that I just love so much came out. I cannot believe I looked this up today. 1994. Wow. Seems like yesterday I was losing a lot of time that I should have been building my radio career and screenwriting career. So I come home from college, we get off my radio shift and play TIE Fighter on the PC, and loved it. You have to stop a coup against the Emperor, which, you know, now I might not stop. I might join, but it was just fun. And I didn't play a lot of the X-Wing games. And again, you know me, you all know me. We've talked about this before. Empire's got cooler toys. I had the Imperial insignia hat for so long. I didn't play X-Wing. I played TIE Fighter. I wanted to fly a TIE Fighter. And it's just a real fun story. And I think a remastered version of that. And then maybe, we got Squadrons. You got a good thing. Just give me a TIE Fighter specific version of like the Squadrons game.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I think for me, there are a couple ones that I would like to see either revised or have a direct sequel. A direct sequel, I would love a sequel to the Rogue Squadron games.
Oh, yeah.
There's the one that was originally for N64, and then the one that launched GameCube that was, that's the Rogue Squadron Rogue Leader, which is just one of my favorite video games of all time. I've bunch of great missions, but I've talked about the Battle of Endor, how much I love that, multiple times on this here podcast. And then there was a third sequel that tried to have it all, where there were flight missions, but then there was also like a narrative kind of inserting. It forced Gumped and Imperial into, you know, significant moments of the rebellion's life. And the actual gameplay just did not work, the run and shoot, in my opinion. But you did get access to a cool Jedi starship. Anyway, I think for me, that Rogue Squadron flight experience, I know that times have changed, I understand, and the mechanics of flight have evolved. Mm-hmm. But in this Lego game, the flight controls are not intuitive to me. In the Squadrons video game, the flight controls are not intuitive to me. This is a me problem. The world has evolved, and I have not come with it. I am not criticizing these games. This is a me problem. But what I want is the exact controls that my thumbs and my soul know intuitively, because I want to just fly around and feel that feeling of like, I feel really free because because this is intuitive to me. So I would love just a new Rogue Squadron with those controls that this old man knows.
I don't disagree with you at all, because I often on Squadrons, even Battlefront 2, whatever, even the new Lego game, there's a couple times I have to, as I'm flying, I have to almost put my controller down and just go, all right, fly straight. Just let it fly straight for 5 seconds and you'll recalibrate where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure if I put the time into it, I'm just not as obsessive of a video game player anymore, because that's all I would do. So I'd love that. I would love that to be updated. The other thing that I'm sure like a mod exists or whatever, but I don't know if it's available to just buy on Xbox or PlayStation's online stores. I really have a hankering to replay the Phantom Menace movie game. That is the one that made me fall in love with Team Toe. It is that there's a lot I remember about it, a lot I don't. The thing I really remember is that you go into Mos Espa, you know, and you're playing Qui-Gon, and you have to make deal upon deal. It is like a full season of Mandalorian. Like, you do this favor for me, then I'll do this favor for you in order to set up the entire pod race. And that's the one where, you know, Qui-Gon encounters Team Toe and he's been drinking.
Oh, yes.
So I would just, I have like these dreamlike memories of that. So I'd really love to just replay that one.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. A lot more video game talk to be had when we do our look at the Star Wars Lego, the Skywalker Saga game. So thank you, Sam, for that pregame. We're warming up in our video game talk. Cool. Any other thoughts before we move on?
No, I just... I'm glad you cut me off. I got to maybe just write down my thoughts on this pod racer game and just see who we know. Who can I get this to?
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be a demand for it. I think you can start a hashtag.
There we go. There we go.
Moving on then, we will get back to the video game Odyssey. We will get this pod racer game. Moving on to our question from Nanigans. Nanigan says, what's your preferred theory for the origins of Luke's Kyber crystal? Did he find his own during his journeys? This one is my preference, Nanigan says. Did he inherit it from someone, Qui-Gon's, or something else entirely? Reintroduction of a synthetic crystal, or synthetic crystals, plural. I did do some research on this, Ken, to remind myself that, yes, it is indeed in the Shadows of the Empire story, the much beloved story by many fans and listeners. We do learn that Luke makes a synthetic crystal to create his green lightsaber. So that's the Legends continuity. And I am not entirely caught up on Charles Soule's current Star Wars comics bridging the gap between Empire and Return of the Jedi. So maybe something has come up with this, but I gotta think that that is something that Charles Soule is wanting to write. So I bet that story is coming in that comic book. But I wanted to ask you if you're caught up or have any insights that I don't on that one.
I'm close to being caught up. If there's probably a last month, I think I missed the batch. I'll get that in a week or two. So we're not there yet, but I gotta think we're 100% there. The War of the Bounty Hunters was post-Empire. We're racing towards Return of the Jedi in the comics, and we're crossing big, big canon territory, aren't we? And I think this is needed to be answered. This is a question a lot of us have had and have even more, in a way, if that makes sense, because we know there's so many of these issues that touch upon this kind of canon in Star Wars. So anyways, all that to say, I think we're getting there.
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to Shadows of the Empire time, you know, that's cool, and people have grown up with that and love that, but it was kind of a different time for crystals.
Yeah.
Star Wars, right? Kyber crystals, starting from the Gathering arc in Clone Wars to really putting them, you know, on screen in Rogue One, big movie, big focus, tying it all together, you know, visiting Ilum yourself is a player of Fallen Order. Kyber crystals and their importance and how they work, and even the stuff in Trial of the Darksaber about the relationship that the user has, it's all built it up so much. So this is a little bit more, to me, of a deep story than where did he find it, you know?
Yeah.
Did he buy one off Hondo, right? Right? Like, I think for me, the story that I want is I would love to have Luke have to track one down. I think that builds up the story of Luke as a sort of archaeologist, archivist of the Order, which the comics have already been doing since, you know, the ones that bridged A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. And I feel like with the modern story of what Kyber crystals are, I feel like acquiring one is a trial and a building of a relationship. So I would love it if Luke is like, I know he's got the other lightsaber right now in the comics, right?
Yeah, the yellow one, yeah.
The yellow one, and I read that story. And I feel like however it gets built to in this comic book, if that's indeed where they tell the story, I would love it to be like Luke says, is a part of my journey to become a Jedi. I can't skip this part of the process. I have to find one, and it has to be a spiritual thing. And I have to find the one that responds to me. You know, it's not just there aren't any in the galaxy, or very few in the galaxy, and I just got to find one. I still have to do what the Jedi of old did. If I have to find the one that's right for me.
We're in the same ballpark. I like this idea that just Luke will know it's time. I don't know, maybe Ghost Ben shows up and says, hey, by the way, this is time. Like that yellow one you have, it ain't going to do the trick here. And I'm with you. We going back to the 90s, and when some of the crystal lore popped up, the synthetic crystals are something I actually kind of liked on the Sith side, but I just love where it goes now. Bleeding the Blade is so mythical. It's so dark magic almost in a way. And I love the whole story there. So it all kind of, you know, flows into this story with Luke and where he is right now, and where he ends up with Vader talking about constructing the lightsaber. It just would make some sense that it has great meaning. And if you just want to talk about the how of it, Ilum could still be in play in some fashion. And maybe he goes as a Cal Kestis like journey through Ilum and all the Imperials there. I don't need to rehash all the same beats from that video game level and all that stuff, but you know what I mean? Like why not send Luke to the center of it? That could be something like that, or combine the two. If it is Qui-Gon's, but he has to connect with him some way, and not just search, but build that connection. I could go down that path as well.
Yeah, I wonder if there's also room to enhance the story of the second Death Star's construction, right?
Okay.
Because I think, you know, there for me, there's probably technical manuals out there, but like the. Did they just have kyber crystals? Do they have a stock of them?
Right.
Or did they have to mine more and find more for the second Death Star?
Yeah. And Luke crashing into that. That could be good.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I have to go crashing into that. Or I could see some fun story where another culture has a relationship with the kyber crystals. And Luke's like, hey, I sense that you have this. Any way I could get that? And they'd be like, sure, pass these trials kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's the fun part of the comics now. And I always say I don't connect with all of the modern comics in the last couple of years. I've said that a few times. But I like the potential of taking something, a beat, Luke shows up with a green lightsaber as a kid. Basically, we learned about it from the Kenner figure, right? For a lot of us, like, oh, he's got a new green one. And I just like that it could be a little bit more complicated and that he could go on a wild mission, like you're saying, to another world we haven't met yet or something kind of magical, mystical that you wouldn't have thought in 1983 as a kid when you're like, cool, he went to the store and bought a new one like I do. that's the potential and the promise of those stories in comics or novels. Yes, would we like to see it? Would I love to see it in Mando 3 or something like that? Or a flashback from Luke is what I'm saying. Sure. Maybe he's telling someone about, let me tell you how I got my, sure. I'd love to see it live action, but probably not going to see it. And that's the promise of the comics, why I do go back every month to see what's there for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Final thing with this, how do you feel about the idea that he inherited it from Qui-Gon or somebody like that?
Again, I don't mind that, but that seems so incomplete now, right? Unless it's like unless the inheritance of it involves some sort of trial or test. I love your idea of him. Wouldn't it be, it's almost like Luke creating his own trials. Like, I'm not ready yet. Let me test myself here, so that it isn't just he finds it in a box or like that. And I don't think that's what you're suggesting at all. But just, you know, have some weight behind it. That could work for me too. And be wonderfully, you know, a little emotional connection from Qui-Gon to Luke.
Yeah. I mean, I love the legacy of it that, you know, this is the one that is out there. It, you know, whatever exactly has happened to it. I think, you know, Obi-Wan probably picked it up and brought it back to the temple. And I'm sure it's had some adventures. Maybe even some of them are documented. Who knows? The internet knows, but I'm not looking it up right now. But I think for me, that legacy of from master to master to master to student to master to student is great, but I'd still want him to really have to go through something to acquire it.
Yeah, a little trial.
A little trial. We want to put poor Luke through some stuff. maybe Luke has to play your pod racer game in order to get Qui-Gon Skyber Crystal.
Got to win a level. Can I kick back to you, though, that going back to 83 when he shows up, and again, from our generation's point of view here, did you have any wild theories on that, or did you accept it at face value?
I thought it was really cool. Like, I think there's like some anxiety because at certain points, you know, in the build up to Return of the Jedi, it's like, how is Luke going to even have a lightsaber? You know, so when those images started to come out, honestly, for me, it was like a little bit of this crisis because blue was my favorite color. And, you know, when you're younger, that's important. That's one of the few things that you have agency over that people ask you about as a kid. What's your favorite food? What's your favorite color? And I was like, as a human being, here's what I know about myself. I like macaroni and cheese and my favorite color is blue. These are the parts of my life that I have authority over. And a big part of that was Luke's lightsaber, right? So then when it went green, I had this real crisis of faith of like, does green have to be my favorite color now? I like it. Can I abandon blue?
See, this is great. This is great because I was a pizza and green kid. So Jedi was great. And I had it in the Spotlight Star Wars thumbnail that you so wonderfully created years ago that we still use there with me sitting in that shirt. It's green with Emperor Vader and Luke on it, an awkward family photo. And that green, it was just like green. And then the shirt's green. Green's my favorite color.
Yeah. No, so I mean, I loved it. I thought it was incredibly cool, and I had that crisis of my favorite color, but I loved that green lightsaber, and I loved, as I got older, the sort of the myth of there had been a scene, and I loved that deleted scene, and there's an action figure that I think is a little spendy of Luke constructing his lightsaber. It's a deleted scene action figure that I almost picked up at a convention years ago for $20. I need to track that one down. So I didn't ever though as a kid. I think it was just such a different time. It was like Vader said he constructed a new one. Well, there's the answer, you know?
Yeah. No, and that line was great too. I probably accepted that on somewhat face value of, oh, cool, he built a new one, but that meant something, right? That just not knowing anything or any of the lore to come, it just meant something that, oh, I see. You build the lightsaber, you connect with it, and then you're a Jedi. Got it.
Yeah, I mean, I think your skills are complete, right? That's some of that great tip of the iceberg storytelling of that suggests so much. It suggests that that's a hard challenge, a skill. It requires something, and we don't dwell on what, but it fires your imagination to wonder. And here we are all these years later with multiple versions of that story still wondering what the new one's going to be.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, great question. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with our questions from our patrons on Patreon.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
And we are back to continue attempting to answer the questions of the Force. We go to our patrons from Patreon. This one comes to us from Christopher Ferreira. Hello, lovely hosts. You guys are such an inspiration and validation of my optimistic fandom, and I hope you continue to grow and spread the Bacta tank of talk. Bacta spill sounds like a video game level, kinda, says Christopher. Thank you for the kind words, Christopher. Christopher continues. Anyways, first time asking a question here, so I will keep it simple. I loved the reveal of Din now flying a repurposed N1 starfighter. As a child of the prequels, it is cool to see a ship that looks like my own Lego sets after a few months. That being said, what is your guys' alternate list? What ships do you think could have worked for Din as well as an N1? I personally think that for story reasons, the switch to a one-person starfighter clearly signals a shift away from bounty hunting, but practically, I think maybe a more gradual downsizing may have made sense. So for that reason, my idea for Din's ship would have been a drumroll, Arc 170, the prototype for the X-Wing checks all the boxes for Din. Pre-Imperial, or ex-Imperial, depending on age, which could also be an advantage, two large cannons already installed and torpedoes, a standalone hyperdrive, space for a crew of three plus storage, which is more downsized from the Crest, and more importantly, there's an astromech slot to take over for Grogu. What do you guys think? Hope you all have a fantastic day. May the Force be with you. May the Force be with you as well, Christopher. This is a great analysis of some of the meanings behind the N1 and the practical. Yeah. How much space does Din need? He is downsizing from like a one-bedroom apartment ship to a studio. Generous? a bunk? Yeah. Anyway, where do you go with this? What other kinds of ships might have worked in the same way the N1 did, or a slightly different way?
Yeah, wonderful question, Christopher. This is truly a bar conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think, Christopher, you're nailing the why of the N1, something that's big to us here at Force Center, the why of things and what it means. That said, I am still up at night going, but like Joseph just suggested, where's he going to sleep? That just doesn't bring it. That's not practical. Can he get something else attached to it? So I love the use of the N1. I'd love some alternate. I think why not be a two-car family? Din and Grogu could be a two-car family. So here's some of the choices I would do. And the Arc 170 is a great choice because it's a great ship. Love the prequel era ships. So many great things to choose from. So I went there first with a modified. I mean, capital M modified LAT. I want to see, this is the Volkswagen van of bounty hunting. Now, again, I agree with Christopher. I think we're moving away from bounty hunting, but you talk about a place to sleep, little mini fridge in there, little pop-up tent. I grew up in a Volkswagen van. So the LAT with a hyperdrive, take that around the galaxy, room for Grogu to roam around and play with as many stilled balls and macaroons that he wants to. All right. I love this idea. Love the image. Love the sound. Heavily armed if he needs it. That's my first choice, but I have a backup, but I want to kick it back to you.
Oh, that is a very, very good choice. Yeah, I like that one a lot. For pre-Imperial, I think the N1 is right, for so many reasons, but we'll try to have fun. The Mandalorian Gauntlet Fighter, that is one of my favorite ships. And there's a little bit of room there. And we got to see them parked in live action. And I'm sure I got this feeling that we're going to see more of those Mandalorian gauntlets. But I think we could even see, like, that's the third ship. Maybe there's a whole, the evolution of this character via ships. And when he and Grogu both accept their role as Mandalorians, right? That it could be, the right ship at that time. So we're not quite there yet. The other thing that I think might have evoked a little bit of the N1 vibe is some sort of real kit-bashed Corellian ship. Like,
ooh, yeah.
If Pelimoto is like, well, I got a cockpit, just a cockpit from this old Corellian ship. And then I have these, like, wings from an old Jedi T-6 shuttle, like, and just really made something that was in that same spirit with the N1 of it's repurposed, it's new, but had as a part of it, like that distinctive Krellian cockpit. Right. I think that would have been cool. I think in some ways, not that people of all ages don't love the Falcon or Dash Render's Outrider.
Yeah.
But I think that it is so significant that would have been a little bit of an original trilogy nostalgia. And I think it is so important and so purposeful that it was prequel nostalgia. So, Right. Yeah, this is a fun question of like, what would we have almost wanted?
Yeah.
But not because the N1 is perfect.
Well, and that scene, I still, if I ever meet Bryce Dallas Howard in person, I'm just going to say thank you. Thank you for the way you directed that scene and put that scene out there. Thank you for making that just so emotional. I can't replace that N1 scene for anything, but this is a fun conversation. You also, I think, stumbled onto a scoop, Joseph, from Mando Season 3. Now have it on high authority that Din does win Dash Rendar's ship in a bet. They meet in episode one.
Yep, they have just an epic sabacc battle, right? And Dashrender puts everything on the table: his ship, his shoulder pads. Didn't taste at all.
Yeah, and I know for a fact we're gonna have a Lando appearance, and he's gonna enter the game to try to, because he kind of hasn't really, he misses having kind of like a Krillian, you know, white tee. So he's gonna try to get in on that action. This is all we'll put this on YouTube. We'll make $240,000 a year just selling lies. But absolutely love this. Love this conversation here. I have a weird backup though.
Yeah, go for it.
It's listed as needing a crew of at least three, so. I don't know if Grogu's ready for that. Maybe you convince Grief to come along. Maybe Pelimoto. Maybe she just flies into space. She doesn't leave Tatooine much, she says, right? Well, this is her chance. I want to talk about going back a few eras. Go ahead and give me Din. And it wouldn't be if the lad is a Volkswagen van. This is like, you got a big RV camper. Put him in a long beam cruiser from the High Republic era.
Oh, wow. That would have been amazing.
Yeah. And again, needs a crew of three, can carry up to 24 people. So maybe this is when the Mudhorn clan grows, the expansion plan. And they all fly around like a traveling band of, a family band. Ba, 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 and they're just flying around the long beam.
Maybe this is where this is all building is Din's like, I'm really tired of coming back to Tatooine to have my ship fixed. So, Peli, I'm hiring you.
Yeah.
You're just traveling with me at all times now. Oh, that would be great. That would be great. Mm-hmm. I kind of think that as soon as HasLab announces the N1 vintage repurposed Starfighter as a toy you can buy, then that's when Dan will get a third ship.
I love that. That's a good answer.
Just purposely. The final one for me, and you made me think of this, think more about the Clone Wars animated series. Obviously, the LATs, the LAATs, the Republic gunship is in the movies, but also, boy, is it in the Clone Wars animated series a lot. Mm-hmm. I love the ETA class shuttle. There's a Jedi version. There's an executive Republic version that Palpatine uses. It is the shuttle that Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka are using when they go to Mortis. It's just got this great wing, the kind of the three wings, all the shuttles, but they've got this little energy, like they're kind of moving forward.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. Yeah,
that's a good one. A very good one. But I wanted to touch on this just briefly because Christopher does such a great job with it. This is just one of those questions where, like we're saying, it's fun to think of what might be an almost answer. Mm-hmm. But I think the N1 it represents that change, that downsizing that Christopher is talking about. But I really love that they went to the effort to make this sort of love of the N1 that is in our real world, in our associations with it, as fast and fun and joyful and that they made that in universe, right?
Yeah.
It's not just Peli talking about it. The way Cobb Vanth reacts to it, right? Like, is that an N1? It makes it like, it really connects it to sort of American myths about vehicles, right? Of like a 57 Chevy Impala, right? It's a beautiful car that's designed to give you fun and freedom, right? And I think I just think that is such an important part of this of the way they handled this story, right?
I mean, I want to watch that episode again, and also I love the N1 fun and freedom, buy it today. Great commercial going.
Exactly. Any other thoughts on this one before we move on to our final question?
The only thought is we could keep going, couldn't we? These are those fun Star Wars questions I can't wait to have in person with all of you at Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, what ship will be Din's next ship? All right, we go to our final question from Harrison Gibson. Harrison says, hello, Force Center friends. While watching Revenge of the Sith recently, I had a fun what if pop into my head. What if Mace Windu had taken Anakin with him to arrest Chancellor Palpatine? We know that he wants to force Anakin into making a choice. You must choose, as Sheev says. How would he have pushed Anakin into making a choice in this scenario? And might Mace showing Anakin he trusts him have made any difference? Also, just wanted to say thank you for being such a beacon of positivity in the Star Wars community. Thank you, Harrison, for the kind words. Let's get into tragedy. Do you think it would have made a difference? Do you think Mace was wrong? Take me into all of your Mace handling Anakin in this critical moment thoughts.
Man, if we haven't, it's 6 years of broadcasting, I can't remember everything we've ever done. If we haven't done the deep dive into Mace and his decisions, the good, the bad, and the otherwise, I'd love to do that at some point because he's fascinating. It's a fascinating case study. I think there's so many examples where Mace is right. Bedside manner wrong, but thought process right. He's close to figuring stuff out or make some decisions I agree with. I think it's wise to leave Anakin behind. I do think a boost of trust might have helped Anakin, but I think I have a kind of a boring answer here, Joseph, where it's Padme that's driving all of this in Anakin. That's what's unsettling. And if Mace's sure kid come along, I think the same thing happens. I literally think the same exact beats happen. Fisto holds up a little bit of a fight, goes. If it's him, Fisto, and Anakin, I think Palpatine does something to move him out of the picture, force push, whatever, you know, to get the details of the fight. And I still think Mace being Mace, I think Anakin, Palpatine needs that to happen. Mace gets him in a position. We're almost at the same decision again. I don't know if any of that changes Anakin's heart in that moment, as if he's to say, all right, well, you know, I am here. You're right. Yeah, let's arrest. Let's kill him. You know, as long as Mace gets to that same point of we need to kill him, it's all the same. Now, again, if Anakin's there and Mace is there and they can arrest him, sure, maybe we got a different story. Less dramatic on screen, but a different story.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in the big picture, I ultimately agree with you because I think I think it would have made Sheev work harder. The imagining of how Sheev might have made that work in a minute. I think this is just one of the things that I really appreciate about the prequel era in Revenge of the Sith in particular, that it so works like a Shakespearean tragedy where it invites these questions. It invites you to ask, what is the moment usually in classic Shakespearean tragedy in the third act in the middle where the protagonist makes a choice where like, well, now that choice, now everything is going to fall out. From that and you can't go back. And then a part of the joy and the horror of revisiting tragedy is asking yourself exactly which beats could they have made a different choice and would it have impacted that one ultimate choice where there's no turning back. And I feel like for Anakin, that ultimate choice is, you know, Sheev saying you must choose and he chooses poorly in my opinion. And well, I would say in the opinion of Star Wars, Anakin should not have hacked off old Mace's arm there. But it's constructed well, right, to invite you to see it from Anakin's perspective, where he has been manipulated by Palpatine earlier in the film to take a life when he knows he shouldn't, you know, he's too dangerous to be kept alive, and then engineers Mace over the years, but also in that moment to repeat those things and make it look like a sort of equivalence from Anakin's perspective. So I think we're invited to kind of try to see it from Anakin's perspective, but that all falls apart when you realize it's a manipulation by Palpatine and he is too dangerous. But I think for me, I think Mace should have trusted Anakin. I think even if it didn't ultimately change everything, I think that it is a failure for Mace, and I think it is a symbolic of the Jedi's failings. Mace has lots of things that he is right to be concerned about, and I think his story over the course of the prequels and the Clone Wars is understandable concern gives way to rigidity and fear. He has a lack of hope. In Anakin, he's never allowed himself to go, yeah, but what if? Yeah. What if Qui-Gon is right? It's always just been, nope, dangerous, bye. Right?
Yeah.
And that can't be good for the kid, right? And then I think this is like the erosion of the Jedi's ability to trust at all, right?
Yeah.
To say like, yeah, I think you're dangerous, and I think putting you with Palpatine is dangerous, and I think he manipulated you to be on the council, and you threw a fit, and you got anger swirling around you. Why did he reveal himself to you? Like, Mace's concern is totally, totally understandable. But sometimes that's when trust is needed the most, right? To reach out to somebody and go, you know, I have a lot of reasons to doubt you, and I am going to put this trust and faith in you in this moment to come with us on this.
Yeah.
I think it would have worked out poorly for Mace, but I think just personally, it's a symbol of the amount that Palpatine has eroded hope and trust in the Jedi.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you on that journey there. It's, you know, when I said like Mace is so close to figuring stuff out in the sense of, hey, he's on the doorstep. We talk about choices, and I love what you're saying too, of just this being overall just representative of the Jedi Order. And you could trace that back to Phantom Menace, right?
Yeah.
With Mace and young Anakin just along the way. So to say he comes to a decision point and hides behind the shield of the Order, which is a bit of fear, from Mace. So that tracks for me along the way. Were to end up maybe at the same point as Palpatine's manipulation of Anakin, just too strong for anyone to overcome. But yeah, no, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it ends up with further making Anakin feel alienated and like the Jedi are never going to trust him. It is making the manipulations that Palpatine have said to him seem true of like, well, they're not that different than the Sith, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a part of that failure. But I don't think if Mace had trusted Anakin, it would have just been like, and now angels sing and everything's fine, right?
Because I
do go back to, you know, what you said at the beginning is I think Sheev is just like, I've worked too hard for this. I'm too close to this. Mm-hmm. I think if all four of those Jedi walk in to make their arrest along with Anakin, right?
Yeah.
And even Anakin ignites his blade. He's like, you know, please, Chancellor, just come with us. I don't think he would be like, you know, it's treason then. The screaming corkscrew. I think instead he immediately goes to legitimacy, right? Of like,
yeah,
well, this isn't these are just wild accusations. And even if Anakin knows that there's a half truth there, he's right. Such in a place to open himself to half truths. I think Sheev says, well, you know, you have to have a formal investigation and I'm going to call in my guards. And I think he would put the Jedi in a position to have to use violence. You know, I think he would have the guards attack and then they would use violence. And then even if Mace just, you know, is like grabbing him by the arm and saying, we're marching you into prison, which I think Mace is too wound up to do and too correct that Palpatine controls everything.
Yeah.
I like the image of like Mace taking Sheev by the arm and kind of marching him to the door and Sheev going like, I can't let them take me, Anakin, they'll kill me in prison. Shivved with an electro knife, a vibro knife. Like, I think he'd play up that pity angle. And I think that at this point, with all of the great manipulation he's done of Anakin, I think the thing is Anakin is afraid of Sheev's death, right? Because that's what it is, right? At the end of the day, it's like, you need me in order to keep Padme alive. If I die, Padme dies.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he lops off Sase Ten's head and Anakin frees him. You know, got a fugitive thing going here.
Yep. I mean, it works out. Yeah. It works out really well for Sheev, and I think he would have had to work a little bit harder for it. But I think,
I
think Anakin's need to not lose Padme and experience that pain is more powerful than anything in that moment.
Too powerful. You're also making me think. Just analyzing Mace a little bit more. We haven't talked about it a bit, but that Mace comic that came out a few years ago, 5-issue run. If you out there listening haven't checked that out, dig into it, because it basically takes that moment where Mace raises up his blade to strike down Palpatine. And if there's a second or beat of hesitation, it takes that hesitation and turns it into a story from his youth and lessons he learned and why he might have not just have brought that blade down quicker and faster and actually done the job. Whether or not Palpatine would have let him, of course, is up for debate. But it's a fascinating insight into the lessons in life of Mace to that point and how he himself may have slipped. So, yeah, we've got the good Mace thoughts today.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be some really fun what ifs if Mace was like, all right, you're right, I'll arrest him.
Right.
Does she pretend to go along with it and just force push him out the window? Does he get into, prison, but get himself out immediately, right? Because right. He does have way too much power. Mas Amita is absolutely in his back pocket. Yeah. For our Clone Wars report, we're just about to talk where he takes over the entire banking system. He controls all levers of power and it can just use it to obscure anything he does. And Mace isn't, that's the problem that they've been at, not pushing back against some of the government problems, that have been going on for years. Anyway, I love these conversations, obviously.
Yes. Yes, Anakin. Oh, they'll serve me bad food in prison.
They'll shiv me, Anakin. Yeah. A very different scene, but the same tragic result. That's our theory here. Yeah. Great question, Harrison. Thank you very, very much. In retrospect, maybe we should have ended on the fun and won instead of "they'll shiv me, Anakin." But that was the will of the Force. Any other thoughts on these questions, Ken?
No, great stuff. Great stuff today.
Yeah, very, very fun. Thank you all for the questions. Ken, do you want to let people know where they can find us?
Yes, I do. We are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Thanks to everyone who watched our live Q&A last week. It's still up there if you want to check it out. And we'll have another one soon. Look for that. We'll let you know when. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcast available on a lot of different spots like Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast. Just search and you'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Get that Speculate Responsibly t-shirt so you can show up in Star Wars Celebration wearing that shirt, and we'll find you easier in the crowd. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly. From there, you can get into our Discord where you can discuss Star Wars with Force Center friends every day. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com, for information on all the things I do. Joseph, where can they follow you?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. It is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And you can check out all of my other adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for that great N1 starfighter, this has been Questions of the Force.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.